last week we started, we learned a new voice, right? Middle passive. This week we're going to be learning two new tenses. And we're going to learn both the active and the middle passive voices. So, this week I kind of went off track of what he said to do a little bit. The future tense is really easy to learn. If you know your present active and present middle indicative tenses, future tense is, like, you don't even have to study it. You just remember one thing, and then, boom, got it. Imperfect tense is a little bit tougher, so we'll spend the bulk of our time there. But we'll start out with reviewing. You remember what deponency is? What deponent verbs are?
Kind of.
Deponent verbs, they look like middle passives, but they have active meaning. So that's erkomai, dunamai, right? Erkomai, I come, I go. All right. My tells you, okay, wait a second, that should be middle passive. It should be like, I have come by, or I have been come, right? But that doesn't make sense. So it's got an active meaning, I come, but it looks like a middle passive because it's got the my ending. But same with dunamai, I am able, I have power to. And so when you're parsing... when you're parsing those verbs, any verbs that you memorize in your vocab, if you memorize a my ending, that's a deponent verb. That's the easy way to remember it. So, my endings, deponent verbs. And when you parse it, it asks for the voice, you put deponent in the voice slot instead of saying middle passive. Because it's like, well, it looks like it's middle passive in form, but in meaning, it's active. So how do you... So, that's how we do it. And we went over those, and you got those. And that's how I remembered it. Psi, dot, dot, dot. But it's going to always show up as eta with any other subscript. So that's the present, middle, passive, indicative.
I forgot to write down which one showed up more. And I assumed it was the eta.
Uh-huh.
But it was easier to remember the entire table with the psi, the sipe.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I got you. That's... in the present, whenever a verb has present, middle, passive, it's going to look like an eta. Sai is the regular middle passive ending that will get thrown onto other tenses. That'll make more sense as we learn more tenses. Because you'll see these endings come up again with just slight alterations. Other additions, like an extra letter somewhere in there. So that's why you learn all of them, my, sai, tai, right now. But anytime it's present, middle, passive, it'll be my a tie. You'll get to recognize those as you do more of it. I think that okay. So homework. Let's do some of these translations. Okay. I didn't tell myself which ones were good ones for you this time. Let's do number two. Lueste. Page 179, by the way.
Yeah.
What'd you get?
So, that would be second person.
Second person?
Plural. Middle. Is it active, right?
Active would be the tense or the voice?
Tense.
Try again.
Voice.
Yeah. The only tense you know right now, the only one we've learned in terms of tense is present. So your tense will always be present so far, or that'll change today because we're about to learn two more tenses. And then mood, the only mood you've learned.
Indicative.
Yeah. Second person plural, present passive indicative, or present middle passive indicative. You put either of those. I generally just put passive because usually it's passive. From?
Luo.
Which means... I lose, I untie. I destroy, I break. It means all those things. Luo doesn't occur more than 50 times in the Bible, but it's just such a perfect word to use for paradigms because it's so short and it's regular. And there's nothing funky goes on with that word. So that's why we use it. But once you start reading it, the few times that you actually come across the word Luo, you're like, oh, I know that one. Like, no problem. I can parse that with my eyes closed. Let's try Apokrinite. Or Apokrinitai.
That would be third person. Singular.
Third person singular.
Presence, it's middle indicative.
Present, middle indicative. What is the lexical form? Yeah, I think you got it on the... I don't remember if I actually put it on the...
I don't know the exact letters, but is it a same thing but my instead?
Okay, yeah. So give it a shot. If it's my is the ending. Apokrinamai. Yeah, okay. Think about the word apokrinamai. That's the lexical form, right? Which means what kind of verb is it?
Deponent.
There you go. So your voice would be
deponent
instead of middle or passive. So yeah, third person singular, present, deponent indicative from apokrinamai, which means I answer. You'll see that word all over the New Testament. Do number five. Hey, hey.
Have we started to read class
yet? Yeah. No problem. That's a nice backpack.
I think that's the woman's one. Yeah. It was on sale, so we just gave the camera anyway.
All right, number five.
So that one is third person plural.
Third person plural. Good.
Present, middle, passive, indicative.
What's the lexical form? Do you use your dictionary on that one?
Is it irregular or is it not normal?
Yeah, sort of. Okay. Yeah, look it up. You on page 410?
Yeah.
Alright.
Is it I go, proceed?
Yeah. I go, I proceed. Sound that word out for me, though.
Pro-renoma? Pro-renoma?
Pa. Re. So yeah, you got the pa is the first syllable, and then you got the diphthong u. So paru.
Paru
am I. Yeah, paru am I. Paru am I. So since that's the lexical form, what kind of verb is it?
Deponent.
So your voice is deponent instead of more passive. So yeah, third person plural present. Deponent indicative from paru am I, which means I go, I proceed. I got the other two up there for you, but we'll go on to the next one. Let's do number seven.
Second person.
Second person.
Singular. present and middle indicative.
Present and middle indicative, what's the lexical form? Give you a hint, it's one, same as one of the earlier ones.
Apocrinomai?
Apocrinomai. Which means the voice is actually...
Deponent. So a lot of these are deponent.
Yeah. That's the ones you got on this, because this is the first time you've seen middle passive, so now we can start throwing deponent verbs at you, so you know what the middle passive endings look like. And lots of high occurrence verbs are deponent just because of the nature of the verb, which is strange. But you get to where you recognize it pretty quick. Let's do one more. Let's do Sunage, number 8.
I was struggling saying that for a while.
Sunage, or Sunage would be the
right. I forget like how exactly I said it, but I think I tried to say like synagogue and put a couple letters off. Didn't work too well.
So,
that is. It's not the regular ending for middle.
Correct. It's not middle passive.
Yeah.
Think back
it
on your...
It is the other one. After.
Yeah.
And it is second person singular.
It is singular. It's not second person.
Third person.
Third person, yeah. What are your present active indicative endings? Remember them from 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago? Starts with luo. Luo, luwes.
Luwes, and then
luo.
Luo mai, luete, luo si.
Yes. Luameth, or...
Luame.
Yeah, luamen, luete, luo si. Luo, luwes, lue, luamen, luete, luo si. Are you... Your endings.
Then that would make it present active indicative.
Present active indicative from. You got this one right on the quiz.
Synagogue. It's synagogue without the.
It's the verb form of synagogue, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sunago, which means.
To come together.
Yeah. To come together, to gather. Those are your other ones. Yeah, you gotta. I gotta. He'll throw one or two that will break the pattern and recall something that you did earlier. Right. So when you first got verbs, he threw one noun in there just to keep you on your toes.
Yeah.
So you got all middle passives. He threw one present active in there to keep you on your toes. Yeah, you did all right. Let's do a couple of translations. Let's do letter delta. Sound it out for me first.
Legusin.
Legusin.
Alto.
Alto.
Urkometha?
Yeah, Urkometha. Legusin auto Urkometha. Alright, what does it mean?
So. Like around the tip of my tongue.
What's the first thing you do when you're translating?
You look for the subject.
Yeah, look, see if there's a noun in the nominative. Is there a noun in the nominative anywhere? No. Okay. Which means that the subject is in
the verb.
The verb. And your verb is, you got it. It's legusin.
Yeah.
So parse legusin.
So that is.
Correct. It's not middle passive. It's present.
So it's present active.
Present active. So you think through your luo, lues, lue, luamen, luete, luusi, or luusin.
Okay, that's what it was.
That's the movable new. That's okay. So.
That would be third person plural.
Third person plural, good. Lego, you remember what Lego means? When you step on a Lego, and it makes you...
I speak.
Yeah, I speak. Good, okay, so third person plural, they speak. Auto.
Is it man?
Yeah, it's from autos, which means his or him. All right, so what, parse that now for me.
Subscript that's genitive.
Yeah, I think he had the third one is dative, nominative, genitive, dative.
Dative. Feminine.
You can't even. It's either masculine or neuter.
Okay.
But what's the? It's singular. Dative, what's your translation word for to help you with datives?
Come from.
That's genitives.
So of, with.
Of is genitive too. So of or from is genitive, and then in with to is dative. I just think of arrows away as genitive and arrows towards is dative. That kind of clues me in. To. In, with, like I'm coming towards you. Whereas genitive is like of, emanating out of, from me. That's how I process it. So it's to or with. So they say to him. What's that one?
Third
person, first person, plural.
And from, ercomai, which is to come.
To come, or to go. It's either one. You gotta use context. Which ercomai is a
deponent.
Right? Deponent. So it's got an active, when you're translating, it's going to sound like it's active, even though it looks like it's middle passive. But first person plural would be. Yeah, we come, we go. They say to him, we come, or we go. Either. Let's do one that's got an actual... Yeah, you're going to find that lots of these are deponent. Let's do gamma, and then we'll go on to the full sentence. Gamma.
So there's no noun. Although Bethlehem.
Bethlehem, yeah, okay. So that's one you don't necessarily know if it's nominative or accusative or what case it is, because proper nouns, lots of the rules go out the window. So you gotta kinda use context. But let's just assume that it's not. How do you translate that if that's an accusative?
From Kaleo.
Yeah. Kaleo, which means.
This one I see all the time, too.
Kaleo?
To call.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
So, that's right. second person plural?
Second person plural would be este.
Third person.
If it were plural, it'd be, you'd have a new in there. Right, nta.
Oh, right.
So, it's singular. Third person, singular. What's third person singular?
They.
That'd be plural.
Second person is y'all. They. This one gets me every
First person time. Is I speak. Second person is you. You speak. Third person is
they.
But if it's just one guy.
He.
He. Okay. He speaks. He, she, it. Right. He speaks. She speaks. It speaks. Kaleo, I, so kaleo, first person would be I call. Third person singular would be he calls. Or, if it's not a he or a she.
It calls.
Okay. Now, is this active or passive? Or middle
passive?
Sorry?
Active.
Third person singular active would be lua luis lue. This is
a mai sai tai.
Okay. So it's...
It's a middle.
Yeah, middle passive. Because present tense, it's middle and passive look the same.
Yeah.
So, I call is active. How would you put that into a passive voice? Yeah, I am called. Like the one I am receiving the action instead of doing the action, right? So I am called, or it is called
Bethlehem.
So that's a good one to kind of get you in the zone of middle passive meaning, right? It is called Bethlehem. If that were active, it'd be Bethlehem called. But since it's passive, it is called Bethlehem. So that's middle passive. The way it gets translated always takes me a second. Like, how would you put this into a passive sense? And really think of it as subject receives the verb or subject does the verb. That's the easiest way to keep it straight. Let's go do a translation. Yeah, this is the one where all the translations are like deponents. Let's do number 3. That's a good, basic, straightforward sentence.
So.
Sound it out first.
Tote? Is that how you say it? I mean, that's probably not
great. Yeah, tate.
Okay.
You enunciate every vowel for now. You get some of them, you don't, but for now, yeah. Tate.
Erkatai.
That's a smooth breathing mark. Erkatai, good.
Met. Outone. Who.
Ha.
Ha.
Yeah.
And then. Jesus. Jesus.
Yeah, Jesus, Jesus. Alright, yeah. Tate erketai met auton ha Jesus. You got any nouns in the nominative?
Not necessarily in the nominative, but Jesus could be the subject.
Jesus could be the subject. How, it's got an article on it, right?
Right, yeah. So it is in the nominative.
So yeah, that one tells you it's in the nominative, because ha is nominative. So yeah, ha Jesus is going to be your subject. It's a noun in the nominative. So translate that first, stick it on the beginning for English speakers. So Jesus, what's...
Jesus, that's then.
Yeah, then. So then Jesus.
Then Jesus, and that would be that is third person singular.
Third person singular, good.
So then Jesus, he comes.
Yeah.
Something, and that's a.
Met autome.
Autome, so that's probably going to be to him or with him.
Good. Yeah, good guessing with using context. Start with autome, parse that for me.
Is it genitive?
Genitive.
And that's the same for.
Yeah, is it singular or plural?
Plural.
Plural. So instead of him, it'd be.
Them?
Them, yeah. So then Jesus comes, something them, after them, with them, to them. You gotta know what meta is, right? So metta means after or with, depending on the context. When it's used with a genitive, it usually means after. Then Jesus comes after them. And I mean, it comes, like, normally it'd make more sense to say, then Jesus came after them in English, but it's present tense. So for now, we just stick with, comes is the present tense of. When we get into the indicative or the imperfect tense, then we'll turn past time. Let's do number 6. That's a good last one to finish on. Go on a new material.
Okay, on the words.
On the words, yeah. I'm going to read it. You try and read along with me. Nun de pros se erchomai kai tauta lalo en to cosmo. Nun de pros se erchomai kai tauta lalo en to cosmo. Alright, look for your noun and the nominative. Actually, this is a long sentence, so let's first look for a place to break it up. You see any good words to break up your phrases with?
Maybe after Tata?
Maybe after Tata, probably right before it. Maybe, but Kai is often a and, so let's deal with the first clause. Nun de pros se erchomai. No articles to help you.
But it does give you, so that.
Does give you.
That could be a subject.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, actually. I don't even know how to parse that pronoun. That's probably it's an accusative.
Okay, so.
Well, it's a genitive. It's the object of. Of pros. Oh, yeah, I'll tell you, that's not the subject. So,
maybe noon?
Maybe noon? You gotta know your vocab for that. So, do you know de?
No.
De means but, or and, or of, or now, or then. It's a great little transition word that they throw in there. And it's always one of those ones that comes second word in a sentence, but you supply it as the first word. So,
okay.
I always just start with but and then see how the context would make me change it. But and then noon, it's actually a pretty easy one to remember now. And I think of the word net. For some reason, noon, like high noon, makes me go now. I don't know why. So yeah, but now, you don't have any nouns in the nominative, and se isn't your subject, so where is your subject?
It's in the verb.
In the verb, which is?
Erchomai.
Erkalai, which means
you come.
I come. Yeah. And excuse me, your lexical form will always be first person singular, so I come. And so yeah, your subject is in that I. So I come prase. What's
so something you I don't know that word.
Alright. That's another preposition you learn. We're gonna have to go over prepositions again. To or toward. I'm trying to remember. There was a good... Oh, yeah. That's what... I always thought of a prosecutor. He's always yelling at somebody. Towards him. He is the... So, that's how I remembered pros. Toward or to. So, but now I come to you. What's the second phrase? I think that this one's a little bit easier.
And these things.
And these things. Lalo.
Something in the cosmos.
In the cosmos, which means.
In the universe, like the world.
World. I say these things, Lalo. It's from the word laleo, which is a contract verb. And it means, and look it up. That's one you gotta know.
Liquid verbs.
Oh, yeah, liquid verbs.
I speak.
Alright, so. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, or to put it in better English vernacular, what would you say? How would you order those words?
I speak these things.
Yeah, I speak these things to the world. In or to? Yeah, into cosmo. So. You want to go really wooden translation, I speak these things in the world. But again, N is one of those words that has a little bit more flexibility. So, to the world, maybe. In the world. Right. Not bad. Alright. So now on a new material. So, we've learned, in terms of tenses, the only tense we've learned is
present.
And in English, we have two other tenses, right?
Past and future.
Past and future. All right. In Greek, there's a whole bunch of different kinds of past tenses. That we'll get into one of them today. Future tense works just like the English future tense. It's future time, future action, not really saying how the action happened. The tense formative, the way that you make something future, is you add a sigma before the connecting vowel. That's it.
Okay.
Yeah, real straightforward. So, luo, lues, lue is now luso, luces, luce, lusam, and lusnate, lususi, lususin. Nice and easy tense formative. That's the future active. So yeah, future active, and guess what? For the future middle passive, well, guess what you do?
Same thing.
The exact same thing, only you add them in front of the future, the middle passive ending. So, lusami, lusesi, or luce, once it contracts. Lusatai, lusamatai, lusestai, lusantai.
Great.
See, he had a whole extra chapter devoted just to futures. I'm like, let's just throw the future tense in with the imperfect because they're so easy. So that's what they look like formed out. Lusamai, Luse, Lusetai, Lusamitha, Luseste, Lusantai. I'm trying to remember. I didn't even make any notes. It translates just like the English future. It works just like the future in English works. Future tense in Greek is super easy. The present active word for luo means I loose, right? What's the future active? How would you translate the future active luso?
I will loose.
I will loose, yeah. How would you do the future middle passive? Or how would you how would you do the present middle passive to get that in your mind? That'd be future.
I am loosed.
Yeah, I am loosed. And then future middle passive, I will be loosed, yeah. Well done. So yeah. Future tense is simple. But one little only kind of tricky thing, which I actually realized I just made a mistake here, so if you wanna edit your I'm gonna go ahead and edit right now. This is just the future middle. The passive has a different ending. So just, erase passive there in the top left corner box. Passive has a different ending that we'll learn a lot later. But that's the future middle. Future active is future active.
You erase passive on both?
Oh, yeah, on the two middle
boxes.
Okay. Imperfect is the more confusing one. So, remember that tense in Greek has both time, like when it happened, present, past, or future. It also has aspect, or kind of action. Anytime I say the word aspect, you think kind of action.
Oh, okay.
Aspect.
Kind of action.
Aspect.
Kind of action.
There you go. So, tense involves time and aspect, or kind of action. So, the imperfect tense is past time, continuous action. Something that was happening in the past. Whereas,
so it was a continuous action in the past.
Correct. Yeah, so the luo, past time continuous aspect, would be I was loosing. Whereas simple past tense would be I loosed. Right? So that's your difference. Imperfect is past time continuous aspect.
Okay.
I think next week we'll look at aorist, which is your simple past. So that we'll get to that. So yeah. Present tense active voice would be Bill hits the ball. Simple past tense active voice would be Bill hit the ball. Imperfect tense active voice in English would be Bill was hitting the ball. It's something that was happening continuously in the past. Present tense passive voice. So, passive voice, Bill is hit by the ball. That's present tense. Simple past tense passive voice. Bill was hit by the ball. Imperfect tense passive voice in English, we'd say Bill was being hit by the ball. You see why we, how that gets built up?
Yeah.
So, past time, continuous action. How do you communicate past time, continuous action, and then also passive action? He's receiving the action. So it gets a little bit wordy when you're trying to do imperfect passive voice. And sometimes you just sacrifice. And you say, okay, as a Greek speaker, I understand that they're saying past time continuous action, but it makes almost no sense when I try to put it into English. So you just simplify it into simple past tense or something.
Yeah.
That's why you learn Greek, though, so you know what's actually going on in the test. So, does the concept of a different aspect within a tense Kind of makes sense to you. All right. Yeah. So, imperfect tense is past time, continuous action. The other past time tenses are perfect, which is easier. Yeah, imperfect and perfect. So, imperfect is like a past time action that wasn't completed. It was going on. It's imperfect. Right? A perfect tense would be something that was going on in the past time and is completed. So it came to perfection, completion. That's so how you get that one. Yeah. Or he has hit the ball. You probably make it clear from the way you're constructing the sentence that the action has been completed. Like, but yeah, he hit the ball is also easy way to do that. We'll get to that. Aorist is your other past time, and that's undefined. So you just throw it into the past tense. Imperfect is more. I think of it. You're not learning Spanish.
It's probably the same in French.
Do they have like a formal greeting in?
Yeah.
So in Spanish, it's usted instead of tú. Tú is the informal you. Usted is like the you, sir. Kind of thing. I think of it imperfect as like the formal past tense. I don't know why I think it like that. It doesn't really translate a whole lot into what it means. But it's like trying to communicate a little bit more information about what was going on in the past tense and dress it up a little bit. Whereas if you're lazier, you're just going to use the simple aorist, the past tense, and say, oh, yeah, it happened. Okay, but just how did it happen? What?
One's more relaxed and one's...
Yeah. One gives more detail. So imperfect is a little bit more detailed.
So do most people use the aorist?
Yeah. Most of the biblical authors, the majority of the time, they'll use the aorist tense when they're speaking about past tense. Unless they're making some kind of a point about how it happened. In which case, they'll switch to different tenses. So this takes on theological significance. Big picture, when you're reading the Bible, why does this matter? So when Paul says Christ sat down at the right hand of God, okay, if he says that it's the perfect tense, he sat down, it's completed, right? It happened, it's done. Whereas if he just used the aorist tense, he's just saying it happened, he might be getting up to do other things, he might be walking around. So the author of Hebrews draws this significance of Christ sat down, like the priests weren't allowed to sit down in the temple, but Christ, as the high priest, sits down at the end of his work, meaning it's done, it's perfect, it's completed. No further work needs to be done on our part to gain salvation, kind of a thing. In certain contexts, the tense used draws theological significance. And so that's... This is the tense formative. Hello. This is the first time we've got what's called an augment, which is like a prefix. So far we've just been learning suffixes, right? Words that letters you throw on in the end to change the meaning. In the imperfect tense, you have an augment, a prefix, epsilon, and then a different ending.
So if you see an augment, then it's pretty much in the imperfect tense.
Probably. There's other tenses that use an augment, so you got to know both the augment and this kind of ending.
Okay.
Tells you something about it. So this is what it looks like on your luo tense. So, eluon, elues, eluen, eluamen, eluete, eluon.
Okay.
So yeah, for now, for you, since this is the only tense you know with an augment, you see an epsilon augment. You go, oh, imperfect tense. Notice some of them stayed the same, right? You're ending men and te and s, luo, lues, lue. You got the sigma there. The ones that changed are n, luen, luon, and luon. And also notice first person singular, third person plural are exactly the same. How do you know the difference?
Context.
That's always the answer.
Except when it's not.
So does that track with you? So that's the active imperfect. Passive, middle passive, Just like present tense, middle passive, they formed the same. You use context to tell if it's middle or if it's passive.
Yeah, this one changed.
Yeah.
Could do more.
This one changed a good deal more. Elu on main, so the ending is main, ah, as your connecting vowel. So, elu on main, elu, elueta, elu on metha, elu este. At least those ones pretty much always stay the same. You'll always see metha and ste on almost every tense when you're looking at middle passive. And then anta. So some similarities in that you got the tau will show up in the third person, right? And then nta, the new tau will show up in the third person plural. So just like tai and ntai, but now it's ta and nta. A little bit similarities there. Then main and u are your big differences.
And I'm noticing the connecting vowel is for second person is different than because it's an O, right?
Yes. I'm trying to remember why. I think that it's still OE, OE, O. No, I gotta look that up. I don't remember why that. I'll look that up at the end.
Okay.
I'm fairly confident that's the right ending, but if not, I'll let you know right after we're done with this. So okay. Put a question mark by that and I'll come back to it. I'm fairly confident it's still OE, 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 O. But there's a reason that that switches. But I'll check it. This is a master verb chart. This will help you big time. Maybe if I... No, it's still... Yeah, I'll have to look it up. But this has all of the present tense stem endings in one chart. So if you were to memorize this chart, you'd be able to work your way through pretty much any verb you know so far. It's got the actual ending and then the how it plays out once all of your contractions and intervocalic sigmas and stuff drop out and everything.
What do the three squiggles mean? Is that it remains the same?
What it means is that technically there's no ending. The ending is nothing. Okay. But it works out that elu-wa, there's no ending. You take the connecting vowel, ah, and then it lengthens because it's sitting there, and ah doesn't like to sit on the end in the first person singular. So. Same with over here. It's like, technically there's no ending, but stuff happens to it because of that. So. If you read Mounts carefully, he kind of walks through and says why all that stuff happens. I think that was it. Yeah, so let me check on that.
Okay.
Why that is. If you want to look it up with me, maybe we can. Two eyes are better than one. I think it's chapter 20 or 21. 21 is imperfects.
What page is that?
183 is where I start. Okay, so ending is sa. This is the only secondary personal ending that has changed significantly. The ending is actually sa. Because a sigma in an inflected ending normally cannot stand between two vowels, it drops out in this form, and then the connecting vowel and omicron connect to u. That's what it is. So the connecting vowel is still e, but you're... contraction rules kick in. So e comes up against that omicron ending and it lengthens to u.
Okay.
That's the contraction. So yeah. Elu. See, this is I'm more the type who would just rather learn the paradigm and not learn the rules. So something's going on there. Just don't know what it is. But to learn the rules better. I think, is it next week or the following week that I'd put in the syllabus that we're not meeting for Thanksgiving?
Well, next week is Thanksgiving. Oh, I see what you're saying. Let's see. November 27th.
Okay, so we'll still meet next week. Do you have the syllabus there?
Yeah.
What's kind of next? I know we're like 2 weeks behind where it says it should be, we should be. What's the one after what we just covered, future middle passive and imperfect?
Midterm test.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I need to write a test for you. Do you want to take a test, or would you rather just go and, since it's just you and me? Do tests help you, or do they, are they just like...
It would probably help me, the fact that I was steady for it.
Okay. I'll put some kind of a reward on it, too, if you get a certain grade.
I think we're going to be gone that weekend for backpacking.
Okay.
So, I mean, if I think we'd be okay with meeting that Sunday for Thanksgiving. I mean, we don't. It's fine if you're busy or something, but...
Yeah, I'll get back to you. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Will we still be able to meet here for your home group?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we'll figure it out.